Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.
Why don't you just say hi to a couple of people around you, high five them, pat them on the back, give them a handshake, give them a hug if you know them well enough, and they're up for that. Great. Awesome. Good to see you today. And I'm loving the C3 thing, right? I'm loving the C3 announcement. I love that we get, some of you don't know much of our Minor Lisa's story, but two years ago, just me and Lisa were just leading our own church. We'd inherited a small fellowship, and we'd taken that on a couple of years earlier, and we'd changed the name and started to change the direction of things, and came alongside Hope City Church and began to relate strongly with Hope City and with Dave. So 2 years ago, it was just me and Lisa leading the community church in Chorley. Chorley, any Chorley fans? Rachel was there. Rachel is the constant. and so we were just leading the community church, and then we got invited to become part of Hope City, to bring the community church to become Hope City Lancashire and come in. So 2 years ago, there was just me and Lisa, and the guys, here we go, let's do this. And then we become part of the bigger family. So we announced to the guys in Shirley, we're becoming part of the bigger family of Hope City Church. Like, yeah. And now it's kind of it goes another level. I'm like, I didn't know, there's another level. And we get to become, as Hope City Church, to become a C3 church, part of the C3 family of churches, maintaining our identity, maintaining who we are, keeping going where we've been going, but to be really well connected into a wider church family. So I think that is good news for us, for you, for the city of Liverpool, and beyond. And I've got to apologize, right, because I'm quite enjoying life at the moment. I am. I'm quite enjoying it. I felt a little bit bad when I was thinking about this. I was thinking, I'm enjoying myself. Oh, gosh. Well, I don't know if I'll be relatable then on Sunday. If I'm enjoying life, will people relate to me? Because he's enjoying his life? I don't know. Because we sometimes assume, like in church, sometimes, right? Sometimes you feel like, God, it's kind of geared towards people having a tough time. Right? Or where tough times are taking precedence, doesn't it? Well, I know there's people here today who are probably going through some kind of crisis. Well, here's a great scripture for you. Hooray! Let's say hooray! And it's like, well, the majority of us are here 1 week and then the next week. I know there's a percentage of visitors, right? But there's a majority of us, right, are coming to church and it's like, well, yes, I'm having a bad time. But here's an encouraging word. Hooray! And then we come back next week and go, yes, I'm having another tough time. And I need another go. Why do we gear? Sometimes church seems to be geared. And I'm like, God doesn't want the overriding thing in our lives to be the trouble, right? There's this trouble, okay? I didn't say I've got a trouble-free life at the moment, right? Because that would make me kind of unrelatable. How can you have a trouble-free life, Dave? I've got some trouble. I've got some issues. I've got some stuff. But God doesn't want that to be the overriding thing. He doesn't want your life, and he doesn't want our church to be lurching from crisis to crisis, just hoping God bails us out. Oh, bail me out again, God. All our prayers turn towards God bailing us out of the situation we're in. He doesn't want us to be like that. I'll give you a couple of verses of scripture, because that's why you came to church today, isn't it? You say, Dave, shut up and give me the Bible, right? Philippians 4, verse 4 says, always be full of joy in the Lord. And when it says in the Lord, it doesn't mean not really. It means really. Always be full of joy in the Lord. You know, when you meet someone, I'm really full of joy in the Lord. You mean they're not. That's what they mean. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Philippians, rejoice. You, rejoice. I say it again, rejoice. Why does he say it again? Because we go, always, really. So I'm telling you again, rejoice. Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. This is one of my favorite little verses of scripture. It's a good one. God came up with this on a good day, right? Rejoice. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Keep on praying. I love that, right? Because trouble's there, but it's in the middle. It's wrapped in rejoicing and prayer. It's wrapped in rejoicing. It's like not taking center stage, right? It's in the middle, wrapped with rejoicing and confidence and prayer. The troubles don't go away. One trouble goes away, you've got another trouble coming. You know it, right? But we're not called to be trouble-focused crisis management Christians, crisis management church. We're called to wrap our trouble in the confidence that we have in God. If you know God's around, you can have some confidence. You can do some praying out of that confidence. When God is involved, when God is present in your life, he wants your life to become so much more upbeat. When God, you know God is central. When you know you've brought God central to your life, when you know he's right there in the midst of things, I think your life can't help but become a little bit more upbeat, right? A little bit more party and a little less pity party, right? Pity, we want to be party people, not pity party people, right? I pity the pity party people. Hey. God wants our lives to be more party. More party. I come to church not to be miserable or not just to be comforted in my misery. I come to church so that God lifts me up, so I feel lifted, not just so I feel it, but it comes out of a knowledge that God is central. I got God central. And I don't want to just have it in church. I don't want to just come on, let's celebrate. Woo, celebrate. Jesus, celebrate. Do you remember that song? If you don't, God bless you. That's right. And you know, I want it to go into my daily life. I want to carry a little bit of the party into my world. I love the scripture. I think Lisa shared it earlier. And it says, when you travel through the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping, it becomes a refreshing spring. And we can focus even that on ourselves. Yes, I'm traveling through the valley of weeping. There's a valley of weeping, right, in our world. And when you travel through it, you should bring the party. You know, not just, hey, I'm upbeat, I'm all right. But do you bring something into your world, right? So it starts with you and your world, but it's about what that will then reproduce in the world around you. We want to bring the party to the world. Amen? Yeah. How are things? Tough. How are you? Party. Because God's central. So let's look at what happens when God is present, right? Let's have a look at this. Because I think when God is present, I think, well, rejoicing can begin a little bit more and we change our focus, right? And we're going to look at a little bit of in 2 Samuel. Last week we looked at something in 1 Samuel. We looked at David he'd just been anointed king but hadn't become king. And we looked at how he fought Goliath off the back of really a life, let's paraphrase it, that knew God, right? And he'd proved God in different situations so he could go on and face the big stuff. And we're going to look at what happened later on. He's become king and the Ark of the Covenant. I don't know if you know what the Ark of the Covenant is. Hands up if you know what the Ark of the Covenant is. If I say Ark of the Covenant, some of you, I don't know what the Ark of the Covenant is. Okay. Well, Ark of the Covenant was built by in the time of Moses. Moses had received the Ten Commandments. Some of you have seen that movie, right? And he's got the stone tablets with the Ten Commandments and they put them in the Ark. And the Ark represents the presence of God for people. So when they carried the Ark, it was like the presence of God going with them. And David has become king. And he's like, the Ark of the Covenant had been stored for 3 months in the house of Obed-Edom. Just say Obed-Edom. Say a little bit faster. Obed-Edom. Good. So in the house of Obed-Edom, there is the Ark, right? And it says this. I mean, that's incredible, isn't it? The Ark, they carried it with Moses ahead of the people. And it ends up in Obed-Edom's back bedroom, right? And this is what it says in 2 Samuel 6, verse 12. It says, King David was told, the Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's household and everything he has because of the Ark of God. So David went there. and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom. It was a happy day in the house of Obed-Edom, wasn't it? King's here. The king's here. Oh, he's come to take the ark away. Oh. So he brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with a big party. Great celebration. Yes, that's what he says. Obed-Edom, he wasn't partially blessed because of the presence of God. It wasn't partial blessing, a little bit here, a little bit there. He was everything, every aspect of his life, every aspect of his household was blessed. Everything he had was blessed because God was resident in his house. He wasn't blessed based on personal merit, but based on the fact that God was present. I just think that God, when God is present, because we don't talk about the presence of God and we kind of become ethereal, right? But when God is present, then every part of your life becomes blessed. Relationally blessed. Financially blessed. Health blessed. You're dealing with circumstances blessed. Your emotions blessed. When God is present, it became obvious to others that God had made a visible and tangible difference to Obed-Edom's house just by being present. And I, gosh, if we want to see our world changed, our world impacted, the city changed, I'm like, well, gosh, we need the flow of the blessing of God in our lives, because there's something that God wants to do that's obvious. I think he's done something obvious already in your life. Something, if God is present in your life, there's something's changed, something is blessed, something's gone on, and God wants to do something absolutely obvious through your life, in your life, and through our church. It might be the story of grace, of what God has done in the midst of your life, in your history. It might be the story of trouble that's going on right now, but it's wrapped in confident hope and celebration, so it communicates something different to the world. I think people sit up and take notice when you're going through something and they see, how on earth are you dealing with that? How are you coping with that? Or they know you went through it, they're going through it, they're falling apart, they're saying, hang on, you did this, how did you do that? Incredible, right? I think for some, there's a story of healing happening right now. It's a story of provision being written right now because God's present. So you're thinking, I've got a need. I'm like, well, make sure God's central. God's present in your life because he wants to write a story with your life that becomes a testimony, becomes something. David realized he was missing out on God's blessing and that the city was missing out on God's blessing. I love that. He realized the city, he didn't just go, let's bring it to my house. He said, let's bring it central. Let's bring it to the city and let's put the presence of God right at the heart of this city. It's not just for me, it's for everybody. God wants to bring a party to your house, but he then wants to take the party to the city. That's what he's interested in. There's the individual lives, but us together producing something. God is concerned for this city. And Hope City Church is called to be a church for this city. Not just for you and me to get blessed, that's good. But then the city is blessed and the city is impacted, the city is transformed. That's why we're here. I saw these stats, 2011, right? 2011 stats. Lancashire and Merseyside, right? Lancashire and Merseyside, me and Lisa oversee what's going on in Hope City in Lancashire as well as being over here with you guys. And so this is kind of my region. Lancashire and Merseyside had the highest in 2011, highest alcohol-related illnesses and injuries. And Liverpool is the highest for hospital treatment based on alcohol. I'm like, well, there's the wrong kind of party, right? There's the wrong party. The wrong party is going on in our city, in our young people, in our homes, in our households, you know. And that's just one example of it. And we want to bring the right kind of party. God's party, celebration of God being present, transforming, blessing households, blessing everything. I mean, that's the story we want to write or rewrite for our lives and for this city, right? So our move central in September to the Epstein Theater is a prophetic declaration of bringing the presence of God central. It doesn't literally just, oh yeah, God's going to... But it's like a prophetic statement of who we have decided to be. We have decided to be like David, bringing the presence of God right into the heart of this city so that there is a great, great celebration. See, God's got a life for you that's much more party than pity. He has. Where you discover his blessings throughout your life and go on to be party starters in the lives of others and in this city. Party, party, party. I'm going to tell you a few things about party of God, right? Off the back of this story. Okay? Is that all right? Thank you for your permission. First thing, Jesus gets the party started. It's not rocket science. I've not come with a great massive revelation, but Jesus gets the party started, right? It says this. Let me think about this first. If you hear, everybody's at a party, everyone's been to a party, all your friends have been to a party, and then you hear about it afterwards. It doesn't sound so great to you, right? Oh, we had this great party and it was all right. You're like, oh yeah, well, I was having a nice time over here. You know, Ali Bianchi, who you saw on the video there, talking about Project 180. It was his 30th birthday party on Monday. I was invited, but I wasn't able to go. But they went to the cinema. They had like 100 people go to the cinema to watch Independence Day, right, and having a great time. And Phil's like to me, I was like, it was the best party ever. It was like the best party. It was the best cinema experience ever. And, you know, it just went through my head. Oh, I don't really like Independence Day that much. Because if you weren't at the party, you feel like I've got to belittle the party. Slightly in my head. But hey, there you go. So, Jesus gets the party started. After the men who were carrying the Ark of the Lord, this is 2 Samuel 6:13 to 14. After the men who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had gone six steps, David sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly garment. Bit of an unusual way to get the party started, isn't it? It's slightly unusual. It's like, right, six steps, kill the animals, right, start dancing. Unusual. I don't know if you've been to a party like that. I don't know. But David's like, before we go another step, before we go any further, we've got to make a sacrifice. We've got to sacrifice something to God. And then he did a sacrifice, and then the party started. But here we know we don't live in the times of sacrificing bulls and sacrificing animals. In fact, that Jesus became the sacrifice that you need to enter into the celebratory life of rejoicing and confidence. Jesus already, he's done the sacrifice. So don't think, I've got to earn it. Oh, I can't have a party. I can't celebrate. I can't step into this because I'm not good enough, or I'm not this. Jesus has already been sacrificed. So before you go any further, you need to step into the revelation that Jesus has been sacrificed for you. He's paid for all your sin, all your stuff, all your, you know, it's the gateway. It's the doorway to the party of God. It's like, hey, well, how do you get in? You find your name. Is your name written in Jesus' book of life, right? And you've written in it, if you put your faith in Jesus, that he died for you. It says this in Romans 3:22 to 25. We're made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. This is true for everyone. Say everyone. Everyone who believes, no matter who we are, for everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. And you could read that and be miserable. Oh, everybody has sinned. Everyone. But I'm like, no, this is encouraging. He's saying everybody. You ain't on your own. It's like everybody sinned. Stop feeling miserable about yourself because everybody's in the same boat. You can go, oh, it's not just me. Aren't you relieved when it's not just you? We think, oh gosh, I'm just terrible. I'm going through this stuff. I'm just terrible. I've got these things in my head. I'm saying just terrible stuff. When you find it, oh, you as well? Oh, God, it's not just me. This is what the Bible is saying. It's not just you. It's everybody. But then he goes, verse 24, yet God, with undeserved kindness. You don't deserve kindness. You just get it. Declares that we are righteous. I don't feel it. You are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. So we can't go any further. We can't get into the party of God. We need a sacrifice. Well, there's Jesus presented as a sacrifice for your sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. I love that. For God to be present in your life, you don't need to come up with the sacrifice. Jesus is the sacrifice. You're not made with God when you've got all your stuff together. I've got it all together. I'm made right with God. I've got all stuff together and it's all sorted. Now I can celebrate. Now I can rejoice. It's not like that. You'll be waiting a long time for the party. You're made right with God when you believe that Jesus was a sacrifice for your sin. That's it. Maybe you do need to get all your stuff together. So get all your stuff together. Give it to Jesus. Get on with the party. Somebody here today needs to understand what Jesus has done for you. You need to understand that you've been declared right in God's eyes. And that David danced with all his might. I like that. Have you ever danced with all your might? Have you ever danced with all your might in a church service? I come from the days of... I remember those. It doesn't look very mighty, does it? But anyway, David danced with all his might. Everything in him celebrated. You are made to express the praise of God with all of your being, with all of you, with all of your life. And I find that if you completely engage in a life that celebrates the goodness of God, then the party reaches your face. It reaches your face. It reaches your feet. When you've realized Jesus has been sacrificed for me, I am made right. It's not all about me trying to be better. When you realize what God has done, the party can start. You can smile. You can smile on a Monday. Not just on Sunday. Coming, I'm feeling a little bit better now. That lifted me up. Oh, Monday. You can smile on Monday. You can dance on a Tuesday. Wednesday and the rest. Can't think of it. I haven't got time to think. The party reaches your face and your feet. The praise of God works its way out to your fingertips. The party reaches your attitude. Once you become a celebratory person, a person who's fixed their eyes on what Jesus Christ has done for them, you can begin to have a different attitude towards your situations. When you've brought God present, and when you begin to see him move in different areas of your life, you just begin to change your attitude towards things. I think if you're more of a praising person or a celebratory person, you'll start to believe different things about your circumstances. Because if you're not so focused and you're fixed and you've just got the trouble orbiting God, right, God has been, and I've wrapped God in my trouble, then you just begin to think nothing's going to change. You begin to think God's not going to move. You think nothing's going to change. But if you become a celebratory person, a person that wraps your trouble in praise, in faith, in rejoicing what God is doing, then you start to think something's going to happen. Something's going to change. You start thinking, this isn't it. It's not over. I can do this. I can go through this. We can see God move. It just changes things. The party reaches your decisions and your actions because you're not making a decision based on I'm having a troubled time. You start making decisions based on, I've got my confidence in God. When you're having a troubled time, sometimes you think, well, I'm not going to go to Connect. I'm not going to go to church. I find it incredible that even mature Christians, I find, go through some tough stuff and just disconnect. I'm like, what? You know that's the wrong thing. It's the wrong way around. But hey, Jesus gets the party started. You've got to accept the invitation. You've got to accept the invitation to what God's doing. You've got to accept the invitation to the party. It says this in 1 Samuel 6:15 to 16. It says, so David and all the people of Israel, all the people of Israel, brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and the blowing of ram's horns. Hurrah. But as the ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Michal, who was David's wife, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window. I thought all the people of Israel were bringing up the ark. But she was looking down from her window. When she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt for him. You see, the party wasn't a quiet dinner party. You know, Radio 3 on in the background. It wasn't a quiet dinner. It's all right to have a quiet dinner party. That's cool. But it was noisy. It was loud. It was like, whoa. It's like a little bit in your face. And God wants you to turn up the volume a little bit. You know, I want our lives to turn up the volume of celebration. Because if God's central, we cannot help. I think we can't help but begin to live a life that shouts a little louder, sounds a little noisier. I love that church is a bit noisy sometimes, right? I don't like it when I hurts my ears, right? Didn't hurt my ears today. It's good. Doesn't hurt my ears very often. That's not a dig at the sound, guys. Just sort of, but to make sure that's clear, right? But I like to shout. Why would you like to shout? Well, we like to be still in the presence of the Lord. I don't mind being still in the presence of the Lord, but I don't want to just be still in the presence of the Lord. I don't want to. Sometimes it's quiet, sometimes it's gone, but sometimes it's loud. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it is. But God wants, I think the neighbors, your neighbors need to bang on your door. Bang on your door because your life is shouting so loud that the God's blessing is upon it. Just to shout. I'm like, well, my neighbors, I want the people around me to come banging on the door. What is going on in there? Do you know what I'm saying? Metaphorically speaking. We're just going to turn up Darlene's new album. It's not what I mean. It's a sound this city needs to hear, right? But when God was entering the city, everyone was excited about what was happening. And there was Michael or Michal or Michal looking down on it all from her window. Twitching the curtains. What are they doing? Oh, gosh, there's my husband prattling about again. I mean, she wasn't where she was supposed to be. If you want God's party, if you want the life that God has for you, you've got to accept the invitation to come. Not just to bring God central, but for you to go central. For you to come into the middle of what God is doing. You've got to accept the invitation. Because she hadn't accepted. She wasn't where she was supposed to be. She put herself above what God was doing. And then it puts you in a position to go, well, I'm not so sure. Oh, look at those idiots. You know, and sometimes even in your own life, you can put yourself above what God wants to do, just to look down and just to belittle what God might want to do in your own life. You need to shut the window. You need to come downstairs. You need to join the party. Absolutely. It's easy to criticize when you're looking down from your window, from your point of view. It's easy to pull things apart. If you're just looking down from your window, I found this, the people who are in the middle of what God is doing, have placed themselves right in the middle of what God is doing, the perspective is different. It's a celebratory perspective. It's like, this is what God is doing. It's like, okay, we'll have some troubles, have some things, but God's doing, this is good. When you position yourself outside of being, putting yourself at the heart of what God is doing, your perspective changes. That's what I find. I find people right who keep themselves in the midst of what God is doing, in the life of church, in the life of God, people who keep themselves there, just keep going. Keep going with the flow. They still keep the celebration. They have a C3 announcement. I'm like, that's awesome. We're loving the C3 announcement. I find when you're disconnected, you're looking out. You can find yourself looking out of your window and being like, well, I don't know. So I'd say for you, right, just for every single one of us, make sure you put yourself central. Close your window. Go downstairs. Join the party. Right? And secondly, right, she'd failed as well. She'd failed to move on from a previous season. I thought about this. What was she doing? Who was she? She was the daughter of Saul, the previous king. And she's looking at David, her husband, who's replaced her dad. And she's like, well, what on earth? What on earth is that? And I think for each one of us, we need to be people who don't get stuck in a season of life. Because you get stuck in a season of life and you miss what God wants to do in today in your life. I've known people who got married and carried on living like single people, right? Or people who've had kids and trying to live like they haven't got kids. Everyone's trying. Like, I'm trying. Yeah, I'd like just for half an hour. It's quite nice when you get the time where you go, oh, we can actually go out. Yeah. But even in a wider sense than that, not just in the, you know, I'm doing my parenting and we were also working in great time for us as a couple and stuff, but who just don't want the responsibility and just kind of try and live in the wrong season. And that can be in many ways. You can be at one age and stage in life, you know, a 50-year-old trying to live like a 20-year-old. I see them around, right? Huh? Stay youthful, right? Just saying. The best thing we can do is to be where we're supposed to be. To be present doesn't mean just turn up. You can be present and absent from what's going on. My dad would sometimes be present in the room, but absent from the family, disconnected. So you can be where you're supposed to be. You can turn up. You can turn up in church. You can. I'm present in the service, but I'm absent from what God's doing. God wants you to be present and not absent in wherever you're supposed to be in life, wherever you are, to be present, be in the right place. Be where the party's at. Time's running on, right? So I'll move on to this. So Jesus gets the party started. You've got to accept the invitation. And lastly, nobody goes away empty-handed. Hey! See, I watched like game shows in the 1980s. You can tell, can't you? Nobody goes away empty-handed. You get a carriage clock. But it says this, right? In 1 Samuel 6, 17 to 19 in the NIV, it says, so they brought the ark of the Lord, set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. David offered burnt offerings, peace offerings, da-da-da. And verse 18, when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both the men and the women, to everyone. I like that he's kind of emphasized. He could have said he gave everyone. He says, he gave everyone, all the people, all the men, all the women, everybody. Just so you know, this is everybody. He gave everyone a loaf of bread, piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone to his house, and had their own little mini party at home. It's good. It's Emma's birthday this week, right? 3 years old. And we've got a party next week. I remember, you remember, getting little party bags at parties, you know? Lollipop, fruit salad. Remember though? Fruit salad chew. Fruit salad and blackjack. Ugh. They were horrible. Licorice. And a piece of cake with paper serviette stuck to it. That's always good. No one thought this through. It's just tradition. It's what we do. Wrap it in paper, peel off the... Oh, sorry. It's what we do. But from God's party, everyone got a little bag, loaf of bread, piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. Awesome. Maybe we'll do that for Emma. Maybe we'll do that. Hovis, pork chop, Battenberg. That's what we're going to... I think that's what we'll do for everyone. Love it. Oh... But God's party, right, it's not the sort of party you go home from penniless and not quite sure what just happened, right? Although I've been into church meetings like that, to be fair. But when you place yourself in the midst of what God is doing, your home is blessed, you're provided for, and you even get some cake. I think that's great. I think that's great. And I've been in different situations where I place myself in the middle of what God is doing. And on the surface, it can look like it's going away from the provision of God. You put yourself often in faith, you put yourself in a position where you're like, I'm going to take myself out of provision. Me and Lisa did Bible college a few years ago, and the fees were like, it was about £9,000 for the year. And before the third term, we needed another £4,500, and we didn't know where it was coming from. And we also had like a £500 overdraft that we needed to kind of sort out. And on the night of before the last day of term, I got a little envelope under my door because you're like, well, God, how are we going to do this? This is crazy. How are we going to do this? And a little envelope came under the door. I opened it up, and so we needed half of second term fees and all of the third term. And a little envelope comes under the door and it says, David, we've been praying and we believe we should pay off the rest of this term. So we want to give you £1,500 equivalent to pay off. So I'm like, yes. You know, you'd be having a party then, wouldn't you? That's enough. A little dance, right? And so that's good. But then the next day, the bursar of the college, he just sidles over to me and he says, well, actually, we've also had somebody has come and they want to pay the other £3,000 of the rest of your fees. I'm like, yeah, bigger party. But what we needed to do for this £3,000, it was like a trust fund or some kind of thing that we had to say, well, you kind of need to write and say this is your situation and stuff, because it's got to all be done officially, this money coming to you. Like, okay. But as I'm writing out, I'm thinking, oh, we've got a £500 overdraft. And oh, right. Now, Lisa was doing a little bit of work because she's more employable than me outside of church life. So, and so she's got a little job, and we're thinking, well, gosh, if we had all that money come in, because we already had somebody giving us as well. Somebody was giving us a certain amount each month, which was paying some of our fees. So I was like, oh, if I don't declare that little bit extra money, then that all money will come and we'll have enough to pay off the fees and pay off the overdraft. And I was like, oh, I don't know. What if I tell? But if I tell them that we've got some money towards our fees already, they might say, well, we'll just give you the rest. I'm like, oh, and then we won't be able to pay off the overdraft. Oh, what do you do? What do you do? Well, God, make sure God is present and you're in the middle of what God is doing, right? And so I said, right, I'll write it all out. Right, this is the money coming to us. This is everything. And we owe £500 of an overdraft as well. So that might affect things. Send it off. And they sent back, came back, the letter came back. Oh, we want to give you all the money anyway. Make sure that you're really blessed. Not just that you've got what you need to pay that, but that you're blessed. So I'm like, God, that is awesome. God wants you to not just live on the edge or something, but to have some cake as well, right? Have some raisin cake. Keys can come up and we're gonna finish. And oh, well done. Josephine wrote that song earlier, the new song. Josie wrote the song. I liked it a lot. But David made sure everyone went away with something. We want to be the same. You see, you can say, well, God wants to make sure I go away with something. God wants you to leave here with something. But not just that you go away with something for you, but that we, wherever we go, that we go with something to give. God gives to us so that we can overflow in generosity towards others. I think even on a Sunday, it's best if you don't turn up to church empty. That happens. But if you know God, you should turn up full. Come with some bread and some meat and some cake. Sometimes literal, that'd be nice, right? But to bring to someone's life, so you don't come and just go, I've got to get, I need something, God. But I want to come and bless someone. It says in the Bible to do good to everybody, especially to the household of faith. So I'm like, well, why especially the household of faith? I was like, well, if you can't do good for the household of faith, how would it ever spill out into goodness for the world around you? Come to church to give. Be in your world to give. Our vision is literally to share food. You know, it's part of our vision. To share food with people. To get people not just on the corridors of our workplace, but to bring them from there to the meal table. So they literally get some food. And over food, discover something of who you are and your love for them. And your love for God. And it's literally part of what God wants to do. In the next month, as we head towards the Epstein, and we're not pinning our hopes on, God, we're going to be in the theatre, and we're going to be in the middle of the city. We're not pinning our hopes on that. Over this summer, I go, well, it'd be great in September. It's like, you got some bread and cakes and meat and stuff in your life to go and bless someone else. You got something in your heart. You got something maybe in your cupboard. You're just to share with the people around you. So that when we get to September, it's not, hooray, now we're in a theatre. It's like, hooray, here's some people that I've been blessing and I've been loving, that I've been giving some food to, and I've been sharing some of the food of what God's done in my life with, and they're going to come on this journey with us and join the party of God. Amen? Let's close our eyes, shall we? Let's pray. Let's pray right now. Just thank God. Thank God for Jesus Christ, right? Because he's a sacrifice. He's the one who's been sacrificed for you. You're not trying to make yourself worthy of something from God. I could do with some bread and meat right now, God. Well, you don't have to do anything to earn anything. Jesus has been sacrificed for you. He's paid the price for you. You know, we need to have God at the center of our lives and our lives at the center of what God is doing. I like that thought about David's wife who looked down from, she just was in the wrong place, looking from the wrong perspective. And some of us need to gain a new perspective on what God is doing in our lives. So maybe there's maybe one or two people here, right? And it's like everything is just wrapped in trouble. It's like, you know, that's become the focal, your focal point. You know, when I say, well, that party, you're like, well, I'm not been very celebratory. I'm not feeling celebratory. I've actually found that it's like trouble is wrapping everything. There's maybe a couple of people here, right? And that's you. You know, gosh, trouble's been wrapping. It's been suffocating. All my celebration, all my, sapping my confidence, it's sapping my prayer life. And you know, gosh, in that area, in some area, you got to turn it around. You say, I know I need to wrap that trouble in some prayer. So you haven't been. Not really. You say, I need to wrap that trouble in some confidence in God. I need to wrap that trouble in some thanksgiving. I need to recognize some of the good things around my life, even. If that's you right now, just as eyes are closed, why don't you just lift your hand? So you say, I know, I need to wrap my trouble in some celebration, yeah. Is there anybody else? Just your hands. Maybe there's a couple more people who say, you know, I've got some stuff, and I've not been wrapping that in celebration, in prayer. Father God, we pray for these ladies, Lord God, who right now, God, Father, I pray that you would just, it's by your Spirit that you bring revelation. Lord God, of your goodness, of your grace, of your mercy, Lord God, of the fact that trouble is not, it's not insurmountable. With you, God, it's not insurmountable. Father, I pray that you would just enable them, even in this moment, just to turn things around and to wrap that trouble, wrap that thing, Lord, in some confidence in you. God, you're the one who works all things together for good. You're God who orders our steps. And will you order their steps, Lord God? Will you guide? You got to do something. You got to make some praise. You got to make some celebration. You got to make some confident declarations over your life, over your circumstances, over your situation. Why don't we all stand together right now? It's interesting. Here's an interesting thing. This is... Oh, praise to God. It's really tangible today. But Michael, right? David's wife just looked down on what God was doing. Just looked down, just stayed in a room, stayed in a window, just watching while everyone else was getting on with bringing God central, doing the work of God. Just looked down and built up to contempt and disconnected her from what God was doing. And it says that she ended up remaining childless. And I looked through different versions of Scripture and I realized, because sometimes in some translation of the Bible, there's this horrible word, right? That's used of being barren. And I was looking, I was like, is this the word that's used here? And I looked, and I'm like, this isn't the same word. It's not like some kind of curse on her. She was disconnected. She didn't have kids because it disconnected. She was disconnected from, well, from her husband, but from what God was doing. She found herself in a place of disconnection and therefore fruitless. I'm like, God doesn't want anybody fruitless. You're made to bear spiritual children. You're made to have impact in your world, to bring people to birth in Christ. You're made for that. We're made for that together. And sometimes, and I'm not just saying you look down on what God's doing in church or whatever, you know, but you can just look, have the wrong perspective on what's happening in your life and in your world. And God wants you just to make sure that you are central and that He is central in your life and you're central in what He's doing. Obed-Edom, right? Obed-Edom. He had the Ark of God in his house and knew the blessing of God. I looked at what happened to Obed-Edom, right? Whatever happened to him? He became a worship leader in the tabernacle, one of the band, one of the musicians. He became a gatekeeper on the door. He was living somewhere else, right? And when the Ark of God got moved, he was like, well, that's that season over. Thank you very much. Go back to my misery. He was like, well, let's pack up. Let's move house. Let's go where there. Let's go where God's going. Let's get over there. I'm going to stick myself right in the middle. I know the Prince of God brings blessing. And now I'm going to make sure that's where I am. Because if you've tasted the blessing of God, you want to be where it is. So you want God right in the middle. And you want to be right in the middle of where God is and what God is doing. You don't want to look down and think, well, God's never going to do something in my life. And my circumstance is so bad and all that stuff. You got to get down and get in and join the party of celebrating God, of expectation, of believing God is good. And I want to be like Obed-Edom. You know, just in the house, present in the midst of what God is doing. And if you're with me, I'm raising my hand, right? If you're saying, God, I determine that for my life, I want to be at the center of what you're doing. And I want you at the center of my life. Why don't you just raise your hand with me? I'm just saying, that's what I want, God. Father, wherever you go, we're going. Wherever you lead us, we are following, God. Come on, why don't you pray those prayers? Why don't you pray a prayer like that? Why don't you make it your own words, your own declaration? God, where you're going, I'm going. Where you are, there I will be found. Gosh. Jesus says, where I am, Jesus said this, where I am, my servant will be also. Jesus, where you are, that's where I want to be. Where you lead us as Hope City Church, that's where we're going. If it's to be part of C3, that's where we're going. If it's to the Epstein Theater, that's where we're going. Lord, if it's to reach my neighbors, that's where I'm going. Lord God, if it's to join a Connect group, that's where I'm going. If it's to become part of the hosting team, that's where I'm going. If I'm joining the band, that's where I'm going. If it's to be working with the kids, that's where I'm going. Lord God, that's where I'm going. And as we are where you are, God, I pray for everyone that needs a new perspective. If you'd like that today, if you just say, I got some things, I want a new perspective on something, why don't you just raise your hand? Why don't you say, God, I want, give me a new perspective on my family. Give me a new perspective on my finance, on my future, God. I need a new perspective on my part in the life of the church. I need a new perspective on something, God. Father, as we just determined by faith to center ourselves upon what you're doing. Father, I pray that you change perspective in the areas where we need a change of perspective, to see things differently. Lord God, will you just enlighten us? Will you just show us the way forward? Will you just give us wisdom? Lord, if it's just right for this, just give us a confidence. Yeah, God's got it. You've got it. You're working out all things according to your plan. According to your goodness, according to your good pleasure. Thank you, Jesus. You can lay your hand down on just one last thing before we finish. If you're here today and you say, you know what, I've never had God central. I've never even entered into this thing of knowing Jesus. Jesus died for me. Jesus paid the price for me to enter into a brand new life that's much more party, a lot less pity, where God's working. If you've never stepped into that, but you've walked in it, but you've walked way away from it, then before we close today, I just want to give you an opportunity just to say yes to Jesus Christ, just to say yes to stepping in to the party, yes to coming down from your window of perspective on your life and coming down and joining in with what God is doing. God's got a great purpose, a great plan, and he sent Jesus Christ to die for you, to pay for everything you regret, everything you're ashamed of, and the things you're not really regretting, but kind of, you know, maybe they weren't quite right. He's paid for everything that would separate you from God and separate you from the party of knowing him and his destiny. And right now we're going to pray a really short prayer, simple prayer, but it can connect you with your God, with destiny, with your life, new life, or it could reconnect you right now. So we're going to pray. I'll pray a line. You pray after me. Father God, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you that he died for me. Thank you that he took all my sin, all my shame, and everything that would separate me from you upon himself, so that I can be forgiven, so that I can be set free, so that I can have a new life. The life you've planned for me, the life you designed me for. Forgive me for going my own way. I want to get a new perspective on life. I want to join in with what you are doing. I want to join in with your plans and purposes. Lead me in your ways. In Jesus' name. If that's you today and you're saying amen to that prayer, that won't be the first time you've prayed something like that, or you prayed something like that before and you're making a recommitment of that. Why don't you just lift your hand right now so I can see it while every eye is closed. To anyone here today, just say, yes, Jesus. To anyone here today saying, I'm coming back. Coming back to the party household. That'd be awesome if that's you today. This is what we live for, right? It's what we're living for. Father God, for all of our lives, may we become those that when we pass through the valley of weeping that's in the world around us, that we turn it to refreshing springs. Come on, let's make this a final prayer. Let's lift your hands. Father, for all of our lives, may we live in the celebration, in the party of God. You know, not denying trouble, but may we all wrap our troubles in confidence in you, in rejoicing, in hope. Lord, may we wrap our troubles in prayer, Lord, so that as we go through our world, even this week, God, that we would spread the party of God, spread the celebration, draw others in, Lord, to a life that praises you, that knows you're working in our lives, Lord God. Lord, for every single one of us, will you turn trouble to hope? God, will you turn trouble, Lord God, to confidence, Lord God? Will you turn things around, Lord God? As we go, may we be those that turn around the world, Lord, the people that we meet. God, may we bring people out of despair into hope, Lord God. May we bring people out of darkness into light. May we turn people from sadness to rejoicing. Lord God, make us those kind of people by your Spirit, because you're with us and we're becoming more like you every single day. Why don't you give God one big shout of praise right now? We praise you, God. You are awesome, Lord.
Thanks for joining us for another great message preached live from Hope City Church, Liverpool. For more information about Hope City Church, check out our website at www.hopecitychurch.tv.